Here we are in the Congressional Corner with Tim Versalotti, one of my favorite people, understands politics, not only U.S. politics, better than almost anybody I know, but also understands Massachusetts politics. Well, all eyes are on a certain primary, Tim, and we'll go back to national politics in a minute, but a certain primary between a Kennedy and a Markey. I know you got your eye on that one. What can you tell us?
This is shaping up to be a real barn burner of a race. One of the metrics that everyone was looking at was the third quarter report for each candidate in terms of their fundraising. And they're situated fairly similarly, each with about $4.5 million in the bank, $4.7 million in the bank. This is going to be an expensive race. They're both going to raise a significant sum of money and spend it. The early polling does put Kennedy ahead, sometimes by a significant amount.
What's significant?
Double digits, really? You know, 12, 14 points. And part of it, I believe, is, of course, name recognition and the association with the Kennedy brand, which, of course, is still very potent in Massachusetts. When you look at favorability ratings and job approval ratings for Ed Markey, even though he's been in the public eye for four decades, and even though he's been in the Senate for 6 years now, a lot of people just don't have an opinion of him. You'll find 25, 28% say approve, disapprove, I don't know, favorable, unfavorable, I don't know. And there are a couple of reasons for that. One is he labors in the shadow of Elizabeth Warren and has for his entire time in the Senate. And so there are people who just don't have strong feelings about him.
And that makes a difference, doesn't it?
It can. There is certainly an appeal to a younger, telegenic candidate. Joe Kennedy III speaks well, presents well, appeared on the national scene a few years ago, giving the Democratic response to the State of the Union. It generally went well. Little over-application of chapstick made him look a little odd. But other than that, did very well there. He will be a tough and credible candidate. We're seeing, though, that among at least the punditry and the party activists, what is the rationale? What is the argument that Congressman Kennedy is going to make for taking on a sitting senator in a cycle where so much of the party's resources ought to be devoted, at least in party activist views, to defeating President Trump?
And yet, as you point out, Tim Versalotti, Kennedy is leading. It may well be the mystique, as you suggested, of a Kennedy.
It could be. So Markey's not sitting back. He is putting out his bona fides as an environmentalist, as someone who was talking about climate change long before the rest of the country was. And there will be an event coming up on Sunday, November 10th, where he will stage a debate on climate change at Stonehill College with one of his primary opponents, Shannon Liss Reardon. Kennedy is not committed to that debate, at least to my knowledge, as of this taping, and has said he would prefer to have a debate along those lines sometime in 2020.
Well, if you're leading, the conventional wisdom is, if you're leading, right, why debate?
Why debate, indeed. One of the other interesting wrinkles in all of this is the date of the primary. In Massachusetts, our primaries for statewide office are held in early September. Because of the calendar this year, the Secretary of State has scheduled the primary for September 1st. Any later in the month, it begins to conflict with the Jewish High Holy Days, and then it begins to make it difficult to print general election ballots. There's a lot of pushback on that because September 1st is a Tuesday before Labor Day. Many colleges are not back in session yet, and young voters will not be in place. A lot of folks are getting that last week of vacation in schools in Massachusetts. Public schools tend to start after Labor Day. So the state Senate has stepped in and said, let's look at moving that primary up to June. So it could be a much shorter clock than we would typically have for a primary battle like this. And who does that favor? Well, the one with the bigger lead probably at this point. So it remains to be seen. The legislature has not acted on this yet, but that's another wrinkle, another question mark in this race.
There are a lot of incumbents who are endorsing Markey because it makes them nervous when an outsider comes in and challenges a major incumbent.
Sure.
I guess there's a question there somewhere.
Yeah, well, it makes folks look over their shoulder. There has long been a tradition in Massachusetts politics of biding your time, waiting for that seat to open up, not taking on an incumbent. And we're beginning to see that change. We saw it change in the 2018 cycle when Ayanna Pressley took on Joe Capuano in the 8th District in Somerville and knocked him off. It was not about waiting one's turn. It was the urgency of the moment. And that's the argument that Kennedy is making as well.
AOC. In New York, in New York City,
yep. same. It in other places. Yep.
Yeah. Hey, Tim Versalotti, this is all good stuff. I want to ask you a tougher question. This is so tough, you're not going to like me as a result.
But I find that hard to believe. But go ahead.
But here's a question. Information leads people to make up their minds about things, and there are some things we don't talk about. So we just saw Lieutenant Colonel Vindman going up to the Congress and testifying at great personal courage, a lot of people thought, for himself. Turns out, of course, we read in some papers, we read in the Times, that the guy came over here when he was 3 years old with his twin brother, something that's very significant to me as a twin, but that he was Jewish. Now, I haven't heard that on the mainstream electronic media. I only read it in the Times. I wonder, does something like that influence the way people think about these things?
It could. It could. The real challenge is teasing that out, because that is a bias, a prejudice that, while people may hold, people just don't talk about it. So we can only speculate as to how influential that is. But take a look around online. You can find in the darker corners of the internet all kinds of folks embracing anti-Semitic views, and there are places to indulge in that and articulate that.
Although there are some places, Tim, that it would help you.
Yeah, it could very well be. It's one of those things that, yes, in polite society, no one likes to speak about those things overtly, but it's unmistakable that those attitudes are out there, and they can be signaled with dog whistles, with terminology that's only resonant to folks who engage or hold these views. It's certainly out there. It's just very hard to empirically tease it out because, again, no one wants to cop to those views.
And it's always interesting to me, Tim, when it's made clear that somebody is or isn't African-American, for example, and you see in some newspapers they put a picture of the author because they want it made it clear, yes, we have an African-American, columnist or writer. And I'm getting increasingly interested from the perspective of a political scientist how important that kind of racial or religious identification is in the media.
I think it's very important if the individual is not widely known, it doesn't have a public persona. There's a lot of political science and communication research on source credibility where you set up experiments and randomly assign people to hear or read the same message coming from sources who vary by characteristic. Could be gender, could be age, race, ethnicity, even skin tone. And the perception of the credibility of that message does shift as the characteristics of the source shifts. It's absolutely part of how we absorb and process information.
It's always wonderful to talk to Tim Versalotti, who is, in my book, as good a political scientist and pollster as you're going to find. And he's been too kind coming on to WAMC and letting us hear from him. We have every reason to be proud of you, Tim, and thank you so much for being with us.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you, Alan.